Games. Paul Bogard is the author of The End of Night, Searching for Natural Darkness in an Age of Artificial Light, which has kicked off quite the yowza of a stir about light pollution. When I talked with Paul, three things quickly stood out. He's had a bit of a wandery career, he's as tenacious as they come, and he has a thing about natural darkness.
Watching stars with her in the desert night.
I think it came from growing up in Minnesota and having a cabin in the north part of the state on a lake. And so every summer of my life, I had the experience of naturally dark nights. And so standing out at the end of the dock, watching satellites, you know, passing through sugary spreads of stars and seeing shooting stars and hiking through the woods, so dark you can't see your hands in front of your face. And just having that sort of imprint on me, the beautiful natural night.
So you're wandering around in really dark Minnesota, And now this is your career. Take me from the kid wandering around in really dark Minnesota to now.
I think there has always been the love for night, but it really wasn't until after college when I began to, I always wanted to learn the constellations, you know, to know the night sky. And it wasn't until then when I began to learn the constellations and I very quickly realized how many things you can no longer see because of light pollution, that I put kind of two and two together, my love for night and this new realization of this thing called light pollution, all this light that we're using at night that is robbing us of the stars, robbing us of darkness, and it turns out having all these other effects on our spiritual, mental, physical health, on the environment. And last but not least, on our pocketbooks, it's just a big waste of money. And not that lights aren't good. No one's saying, let's not have light at night. We're just saying we're using way too much and we're using it wastefully and irresponsibly.
Along with this guy who loves the darkness and values darkness, is the guy who writes. Mm-hmm. When did that start?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been a writer, I think, as far back as I can remember, you know, from I think poetry in junior high to college.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, right, exactly. I don't know that I want to go back and see that, but college, I began to do more songwriting. And in fact, when I left college, I was a songwriter primarily, and I really wanted to be a professional musician. And,
guitar?
Yeah, guitar, singing. I loved writing songs, but I didn't love the requisite hauling of amplifiers, you know, and trying to get people to come to bars and all that kind of stuff.
So you wrote songs throughout your 20s?
I did, yeah.
Do you ever sing them?
Sometimes. I did make a CD, and it's called Songs for My Guitar, and I have I think the chorus is something like, I love you living this life with me. And it was, you know, singing that to my guitar, just that sense of having the guitar as a companion, strumming it and making it sing and then singing along was always a great feeling. I miss that part of being a songwriter.
I like to hold you, especially when I'm down. It always does me so good knowing you're around. I like you living this life.
At some point, Paul Bogard collected a PhD in literature and environment and began writing things other than song.
When I was still in college, I went to Africa. I studied wildlife conservation in East Africa, came back and wrote my first book manuscript then, and didn't have any luck getting it published.
What was it on?
Just on the future of Africa's wildlife, essentially. Okay. I went and kind of talked to the Africans, that their story I felt like hadn't been told. And from there, the next book project was a book ostensibly about success. I mean, I just went around asking people, what do you consider to be successful? And I really wanted to get at the meaning of, you know, what makes life meaningful.
Is this still while you were singing and writing songs?
Yep.
So you were writing pretty seriously.
Yeah. I mean, I was doing a lot of interviews for that project, especially, and a lot of transcription. You know, put the manuscript together, and I actually had an agent for that book, and we just weren't able to sell it.
Let me stop you right there. What was the discourage-o-meter like when you had done these two books and you had yet to make a sale?
That's a great question. I mean, I think that especially when you have an agent who tells you that he thinks he can sell the book, and you start thinking about how, I don't know if I thought I would be rich, but at least I thought I was on my way. And then when that doesn't happen, it's hugely discouraging.
But you kept going.
Kept going. I moved to New Mexico from Minneapolis and kind of let the songwriting go at that point, and began pursuing the writing life a little bit more, and ended up enrolling.
Why did you keep going?
Why keep going?
Yeah, when you'd have these two, one near miss, mm-hmm. and one sort of without action.
Yeah. Well, number one, I think I'm really persistent. I think that is a trait, and I talk about that all the time with students. You know, there are lots and lots of good writers, but there are many fewer good writers who are also persistent. And so I've just stayed persistent through the years. After New Mexico, I lived in Reno, and I wrote a book for my dissertation called Blessings from a Small House that was all about living in this small house that I'd bought and I loved, and just, you know, how domestic life is so important to us. And I still love that manuscript, and to have that one be rejected by agents and publishers was even harder for me, because I felt like I was a better writer. It was a more realized book. And I still remember just the devastation of having an agent who was a friend of a friend, and I really thought had a great shot, reject it. And calling another friend, and he just said, you know, they ought to include a little slip in the book that says, please find handgun enclosed, you know, because you just feel like it's the end of the world kind of thing, you know, why go on? But you do. While I was still in New Mexico, I went to UNM for my master's degree in creative writing, and I started writing personal essays and was able to start publishing some of those. And when I got to Reno, then I put together a book manuscript of those essays and tried to sell that as a memoir, and again had a few nibbles, but wasn't able to publish that either. But a really interesting thing happened is that when I was writing personal essays, I was using my burgeoning knowledge of nighttime as kind of backdrop to my stories, to my personal essays. So a lot of them took place at night, or I would use nighttime as a metaphor and that kind of thing. And the big change, the big thing that happened for me is that I switched the focus from me with night as the background to the focus on night and darkness with my story in the background. And just making that switch was the really important thing to do. And the minute I did that, I had interest from an agent and ultimately a publisher.
The road goes on forever and the party never ends, at least for Paul Bogard. He now teaches creative nonfiction at JMU and is set to co-sponsor Starry Nights Harrisonburg, a week-long series of events designed to raise awareness of light pollution. Relevant links are on the Spark page at WMRA.org.